be referencing a lot of scripture through the message, but I won't make you turn there with me. But my main passage is 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us in this place. I pray that you would put your hand upon me, touch me, Lord. I pray that you would speak through me. I pray that your words would be heard. I pray that you would preach this message, not me, Lord. If they come here and they hear me talk, Lord, it's just a waste of their time. I pray that you would fill your this message with your power, pour your power out on me, through me, onto these people, and reveal your will to us through this word. In your name, praise things. Amen. So the title of this message is, "It's Time for Some Dusting." I couldn't find scripture that had all of my points in it, but my main point, we'll get to it in just a minute. But I want to preach about some things that we've allowed to get dusty in our Christian life. And the first thing is we've allowed our testimony to get dusty. How long has it been since we've shared our Christian testimony? Since we've praised God for the work he's done in our life, for his saving work, and for his salvation in our life. If a Christian can't praise God for his testimony, then I worry for your soul. Most Christians haven't testified about their salvation in years. I know I hadn't. When I got right with God, I had been running from God, and I hadn't testified in a long time. I got saved when I was young. I was raised in church. I got saved when I was a little boy. I don't remember the day or the time. I remember it was in Awana's. The message was given, and I went back with one of the teachers and prayed that the Lord saved me. Don't remember a time, but I remember a change. I remember a touch. And I remember him coming to live inside me and the salvation experience. Most Christians wouldn't know what to say if asked to testify. If you are a born-again child of God and you have God living in you, you shouldn't be ashamed. You shouldn't have a hard time praising him for his salvation work. And you shouldn't have a problem shouting about it either. I've heard people tell me that we're charismatic for shouting, that we're charismatic for getting excited and praising God, but they want to go to a football game or a basketball game and shout till their vocal cords can't go anymore, till they can't speak, until they're hoarse because they are so excited about their basketball team, about a goal that was scored, but they can't take 5 minutes to praise God for what he's done in their life. Psalms 119:14 says, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." When we limit God on our testimony and we allow our testimony just to sit and not to be used, we're not just limiting our testimony, but we're limiting God's. God's testimony in our life is salvation. God's testimony is what's going to save others and what's going to bring others to him. Through our testimony, we can give God's. God's testimony is salvation by grace through faith. Death, burial, and resurrection. 1 Timothy 1:8-10 says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." 1 Corinthians 2:1-2 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." 14:3 says, "Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace." We shouldn't be ashamed to give our testimony, and it shouldn't be something that just sits. When things sit, they collect dust. Is your testimony dusty? Not only do we have dust on our testimonies, but we've allowed our Bibles to get dusty. The Bible nowadays is not something that's read and referenced. It is something that we get.
Yeah, that's it.
It sits on the table. In most Christian homes, that's where the Bibles are. They're on the table. They're collecting dust. They're not used. They're not referenced. They're not read. And they're not studied. I remember a time I had You wouldn't happen to have an old Bible, would you, that you studied with?
That I have studied, yeah.
One that's got marks in it and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Mind getting it real quick?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. I remember a time when people studied their Bible, they read their Bible, it was sacred to them, it spoke to them, it was important to them, they loved their Bible. Nowadays, we don't have a love for God's Word anymore. I meant to ask for this before the service, brother.
It's all right, brother. It's all right.
And this has had a new leather put on it?
Newer, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Still
was the last apart. Leather falling apart? Praise God. Hallelujah. This is what a Bible should look like. When I open this Bible, again, like my preacher, I can't turn to a page where there's not notes written in it. The Bible ought to be something that's read, studied, highlighted, notes should be written in it. My preacher's Bible, and I'm sure Brother John's, has tear marks in it where God's spoken to him. My preacher's Bible has sweat stains from where it's been in his hands. My preacher's Bible has blood on it from where he's preached so much till his vocal cords were hurting that there was blood on his Bible. His leather's cracked, as was Brother John's, and the seams are coming apart. It's stained from use. The gold's coming off the outside. There's marks on it from wear. It's beautiful. That's what the Bible ought to look like. That's what our Bibles ought to look like. 1 Timothy 4:15 says, "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." When I was studying for this message, God gave me the points before he gave me the scripture for it, and I had to look up the scripture for it. I didn't know it. I hadn't studied it. I didn't have it memorized. I didn't have it committed to heart. But did you know there's 306 verses in the word Bible that use the word pray? And I couldn't think of any of them. I was ashamed when I thought of that and when God showed me that. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For when thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success." Psalm 77:12 says, "I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." Psalm 119:15-16, "I will meditate on thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word." Psalms 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God." That word have I hid in my heart, that's talking about memorizing scripture. It's not something that we have to look up. It's not something that we have to search. It's not something that we have to find. It's hidden in us. It is part of us. That is what the word should be. Psalms 1:2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Psalms 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." I've heard my preacher say many times, prayer is our way of talking to God, and his word is his way of talking to us. One does not work without the other. If you're not praying, when you are praying, that's our request to God, but you're not going to be spoken to if you're not in this book. The next thing is we have dust on our altars. I'm getting around to prayer. Why is it we've gotten away from the altars of prayer? I remember Brother John at the tent meeting. I remember that the grass wasn't just dying in the tent, but it was dying around the rock altar.
Yeah, right.
From all the men every night that went around that altar and prayed, that tent meeting was bathed in prayer. I remember the grass dying and being crushed into the dirt at the altars where God had convicted people and they had come and made their requests known to God and just cried out to him. We don't do that anymore. I've been in a church where the carpet was faded at the altar and the threads were sticking out from constant use over the years. Psalms 55:17 says, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Luke 21:36 says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." Colossians 1:9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." 1 Timothy 2:8 says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubt." Prayer is a tool that's to be used. It's our communication with God. It's how we talk to God. When was the last time that we entered our prayer closets and told God we wouldn't leave without an answer? Prayer, our prayer life has been collecting dust, just like our Bibles and just like our testimony. And my last point is that we've got dust on our church pews. Church pews, a lot more people used to come to church. People used to love church. I love church. We've got a lot of empty pews now. People that want to get out of church will find a reason. This pandemic has given people a lot of reasons that have been looking and just couldn't find a good enough excuse. We should be faithful members to the house of God. We should be in our place, and our place is in church. We are the church. We've got dust on our testimonies. People nowadays are ashamed to testify. When was the last time you testified about the Lord and just told him how much you loved him? Amen. How thankful you were for a God that would love worthless sinners like us enough to save our souls. Amen. We've got dust on our Bibles. It's not something that we read. It's not something that we love. My preacher and several other preachers. Do you love your Bible that much? A preacher pointed out to me today, actually, that our Bible is more available to us today than it ever has been. I've got a Bible app on my phone. I've got a Bible app on here. I've got this at home. I carry one of these with my car and me everywhere. I have a Soul Winners Bible that fits in my pocket that I take to work. The Bible is made more available to us today more than ever, and it's not something that we use. We've got dust on our altars. We don't let God break us like we used to. And nowadays, when he does, we don't want to move. And we've got dust on our church pews. They're empty. People are getting out. People don't want to come. People get their feelings hurt and don't come. Our place is in church. Our place is with God's people. The best people I know are God's people. Amen. It's time to do some dusting in our Christian lives. Amen. Preacher.